Hey, you guys, what's up? It's your girl, Ashley Tamar, and today is November 2nd. I am so excited. I don't know if you can tell that I am smiling because Tamar Talks is back with some really cool guests, and I am really elated to have these guests because I've known them for a minute. Some of them I just met, and life has changed ever since meeting them. But I definitely wanted to come back and make it personal to my TAM fam out there, to all the aspiring creatives. What's going on in your world? You can now leave me a message, ask questions. We will answer them all right here. So I am so excited to really use this platform. My mother's the one who encouraged me to bring it back. She said she would listen to it on her drive to work, and it really warmed my heart that even my mom was listening, and she was loving the music that I was putting out there from artists who I am jamming and listening to. And ironically, yesterday, if I wanted to tell a funny story before I bring on my first guest for season 5, I was actually on iTunes looking at my music, seeing how many songs I had on there. Every now and then I'll just listen to myself because sometimes I get kind of like bummed that some of the songs didn't get more momentum, if I can be honest and transparent with you guys. Because the industry, you have to have a lot of money to push songs and music. And unless you guys, TAM fam, shares the music, how else will it get heard, right? And so I was just listening to my music and I realized like, wow, I've recorded like 82 songs because I am working on new music and new styles and new ideas. And I was just kind of like, you know, assessing where I'm at and where I want to go. And I was like, dang, I've recorded 82 songs. And at the very bottom was a song by another artist. And it said, who? The song title was Who? And I played the song. The song is jamming by an artist named Vic Lucas. Special shout out to Vic Lucas. So I'm just playing the song. Like, why is this person's song under my profile? Y'all, lo and behold, I'm jamming. I'm dancing. I'm dancing in the kitchen. Blah, 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 blah. Next thing I know, I hear my name. No lie. I hear my name in the song. I literally go to the lyrics, lo and behold, it says Tamar Davis. Now, the context in which he is using the song, I'm like, okay, should I be like fanning out or should I be offended? Either way, y'all know me. I love me some artists. I love reaching out to artists. I love advocating for artists. I love helping artists. I love finding out what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? How can we collab? What did I do? I cold email him. And he emails me back. So I don't know what's to come out of it, but y'all, I'm going to put that song. Got my East Coast going. I'm going to put that song on this episode in particular, along with some other songs. But y'all, I got some announcements for y'all, some collaborations with some people that, yeah. And y'all going to hear them here first, only on Tamar Talks. So at any rate, I do want to do a call to action under all my podcasts. I always have a call to action. I just want to encourage you guys to really get back to praying. I don't know what everyone believes in. I would hope that you all believe that there is a higher being. In my world, we call him Jehovah God. And there is a lot going on in our world. A lot of people are confused. There's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of things that people are just like, why is this happening? And I know we're all tired of saying, pray for this person, pray for this country. But I really believe God has really given vision to a lot of us. I've had a lot of visions. Some of these things that are happening, I saw in my visions. I thought they were actually going to be here, but they are in our world. And when anything is happening in the world, it's still affecting us. So y'all, please pray for our leaders, pray for our nation, pray for wisdom, pray for the end of innocent lives. Pray for God to give us strength for peace, our communities, our leaders. Who are we voting for? It's so much rhetoric about vote, why to vote, why not to vote, who cares? Y'all, God is still sitting on his throne. He will still have the final say. And I just want to encourage, because this is my platform, this is Tamar Talk, so Tamar is talking. And I'm encouraging myself too. So before we get into podcast 5, if any prayer that you could pray is a simple, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And y'all, I want to bring to the stage my baby brother, who is a prop master for TV and film for some of your favorite shows, TV shows, films. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for you guys to hear. He breaks it down. We have no filter on Tamar Talks, so please welcome to Tamar Talks, my brother, Sean.
Hey,
you guys, what's up? It's your girl Ashley Tamar with Tamar Talks, and I am so excited. It's a lot been going on in my world, a lot of great things, challenging things, but that's life, right? And so, ironically, my mom was the one who said she used to listen to all my podcasts when she would go to work because she had a long drive, and she was like, when are you bringing your podcast back? They were really good. And then I started reading comments about how informative they were. And I was like, okay, maybe it's time to just really carve it out and be consistent. So we are bringing some new episodes for this season. And who better to kick off Tamar Talks than my baby brother, Sean Davis, who is a prop master for several of your favorite TV shows and films. Please, y'all, give it up for my baby brother, Sean Davis.
Please, please, please.
Sit down, everybody. Y'all don't know who he is yet. Y'all don't know who he is, but y'all know his projects. So Sean, yo, man, like, we're in the same city, and I'm so proud of my baby brother, because when we found out he was gonna be born, we were like, what? Why are we having a brother? You know, I wanted a brother, my brother wanted a brother, and we were blessed to have Sean. So Sean, welcome to Tamar Talks Podcast.
Thank you for having me, finally.
See, y'all hear the shade already? Y'all hear the shade, right?
That's what I'm saying. She's been having seasons worse, and I ain't been on one, but it's cool. It's cool. I'm here now, though, so let's get it. Come on.
All right, so Sean has been doing prop mastering. So we're going to first start with what is that, and then we're going to dive into how he got involved, because a little birdie told me it's like his sister that, you know, God used to help him get there. But Sean, seriously, all jokes aside, tell us what is being a prop master, and how did you start?
I'm gonna start off with just props in general. To the public, to the regular viewer out there, props is what you see, cell phones, the money. When you watch P-Valley, all the money being thrown, we gotta source that out. We also gotta pick it up every take too, and that's that's terrible.
Wait, so every take you do, you have to pick up the money and restart
every take.
It over?
So if you see a scene, let's say in a strip club, and it's like, there's no money on the floor yet, and the first dancer comes out and you call action and they throwing money everywhere. Every take that we do it at, we got to pick that money up.
But doesn't that cost money to like redo that if you take forever or?
No, I mean, you know, you got to pick the money up. They got to wait for us to pick the money up.
So how many times have you, give me an example, how many times y'all had to pick up money?
So all the Queens Men with Tyler Perry. So the first night we shot, we had to reset at least 4 or 5 times. So,
but how many fake dollar bills did y'all have though?
Probably hundreds of thousands of fake $100 bills.
But how many?
$1 bill, sorry.
But did you have assistants to help you pick that money up?
Yeah, of course. You know, some of the ADs helped us, some of the extras helped us. We had help, but it was a lot. It was a lot to do for 4 or 5 takes. And that's just like earlier that day. And then we had to go back to that scene for another dance routine and pick up more money. But sometimes we got to start off with money on the floor, so it was like, okay, well, it makes it a little bit easier. But for the most part, it was tedious. It was fun though. It was my first time doing a stripper show, even though it was dudes. But it was a lot of women extras in there, so it made it a little bit better.
All right, so tell us how you got, or should I set it up, or you want to tell us how you got into props? Can I give an insight?
Give me insight.
Okay, so one day Sean calls. I think my mom, I was in LA. My mom and I and Sean always have three ways. You know, we have another brother, Nolan, but Nolan is always off doing his thing. So Sean, my mom and I always have three ways. So one day my mom calls and she's like, Sean just doesn't know what he wants to do. So one day Sean's like, Ashley, how do you learn your lines? So I'm trying to teach him, because he went to, tell everybody what school you went to.
I went to several different schools. So just a little backstory. I've always played sports. Sports was my life. Basketball, baseball, football. Went to 3 different colleges. El Camino in California, Compton College in California. And then I transferred to Bethune-Cookman in Daytona Beach, Florida to
Ooh,
play.
Ooh, Sean, we got stories.
Right. And then I transferred back. Transferred back to L.A., played at West L.A. College, and then transferred back to Florida to go to the University of South Florida, where I got my degree. But I played sports all my life. So,
well, hold on. Let's not overlook that, though. You know, Sean has been traveling to figure out what he wants to do, which is what this podcast is about. But when Sean landed at USF, we knew life had changed. So you can't overlook, he is a Black man who got a degree. And what was your degree in?
Theater performance, and I got a minor in business.
Okay, theater performance, minor in business. All right, keep going.
So after that, I graduated, came home, and didn't know what I wanted to do. Like I said, I've been playing sports my entire life. That's all I knew. I knew nothing else. But yeah, to fast forward, I talked to my sister, which is you, unfortunately. but you gave me an idea. It was like, well, you know, I can call Mark Swinton, who is, I think he's the vice president at Tyler Perry Studios.
Special shout out to Mark Swinton.
But you gave him a call, and he gave me a chance. And he gave me an interview. I went to Atlanta off a whim. You know, I'm into sneakers, too, so I sold a couple sneakers to move out to Atlanta and to put money in my pocket and to pay for rent. But he gave me a chance. He looked at my resume. He was like, oh, you got a degree. And I think that was the final defining moment for me when he saw that I had a degree. And I was like, oh, this is going to actually work for me? And it worked in my favor. And history.
I'm trying not to get emotional,
this
you guys.
It's 2017, by the
like,
way.
Like, we talk all the time, but I've never heard some of these stories Sean is telling. So just like you guys are hearing this for the first time, I'm hearing it for the first time. He said he got his degree in 2017?
No, girl.
No, oh, when did you get your degree?
2014.
Oh, 2014. 2017 is when you met Mark Swinton.
No, I met Mark Swinton in 2000 with
well,
you.
Well, I take that back. 17 sorry.
17 years prior.
But he met Mark, yeah, way before that. But when you started working with Mark?
I started working with Mark January 8th, 2018, to be exact, because he said that they were slow and there wasn't anything filming in Atlanta at the time. Mind you, this is the summer of 2017. And he kept his word. And that's something that I really appreciated about him, that he kept his word. Because, you know, this the entertainment industry. People tell you one thing, you know. People tell you one thing and act like they never told you before, they forgot or whatever. But he kept his word. 7 months later, I was in Atlanta doing my first show, which was Have and Have Nots. Yeah, the Have and Have Nots.
So what was your hardest lesson being dumped into that role on the Have and Have Nots? Like, what was a challenge for you? Like, what was something that you just did not know?
Well, I'm going to backtrack, too. I originally wasn't supposed to be in props. I don't know if I ever told you that. I was supposed to be in wardrobe. Because,
oh, yeah, you did tell me
yeah,
that.
I forgot who it was. I think it was a production supervisor or whoever. They was like, so what department do you want to go into? And I was like, oh, I want to go into wardrobe. Because, you know, I'm into sneakers, I'm into fashion. So I was like, wardrobe is like, that's where I knew I wanted to be. So I get there, and there was a girl named Peaches, she's from Houston. She went to Really Rich High School. She was already there, and she was appointed to me. I get a text message when I get to Tyler Perry Studios. It was an 832 number, and I was like, 832? Huh? I'm in Atlanta. And it was, lo and behold, it was Peaches, and I was like, yeah. She asked me what department. I was at wardrobe, and she was like, nah, we're going to put you in props. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history. I haven't found anything else that I love more than props outside of wardrobe. I've done wardrobe on a few shows, but props is like where my heart is and where all my knowledge is. So
Sean is going to tell a story about, this is when it was endearing to me. Like, Sean and I talk every day. My whole family, we talk every day. But it wasn't until I booked Bruh and, did we talk before I landed in Atlanta? And I did three episodes of Bruh.
Right.
Right? And so I hadn't talked to Mr. Perry at the time. So I get on set, you know, I do all my fittings and wig and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Sean, I blatantly told Sean, do not tell people that he's my brother. And it sucks, you know, because being in this industry, you know, some people look at things like when you put your family on, it's something that's like a disservice or it's like a disadvantage. Like, they feel like you have an advantage and it's not fair. I've heard that a lot. Like, you know, but I also feel like opportunity begets opportunity. If I'm in the room and I am in the room, I'm representing me, myself, my family, people that I know,
who I know could benefit being in the room. So Sean, I told him, I said, don't say anything. Don't tell Cassie, you know, when you're on set. He was like, oh, I ran into so-and-so and so-and-so. Unless they knew who he was, they would be like, you look familiar, you know. So I said, don't tell Mr. Perry, don't say nothing. So long story short, Sean can tell his story. I booked Bruh, and I think I cried because it wasn't until I did one of the episodes and he came up to me physically and he had to put like my Chief Linda badge on me, you know, for the scene. And I just was like, yo, this is my baby brother, like putting a prop on me, you know. But Sean can tell y'all the story.
It was a surreal moment. It was a moment that I've always thought about, but like in a different light. But, you know, seeing her on set with me and me actually having to deal with her on set was amazing to me. And I wish I could do it more, but, you know, she's not into acting as much now. She's in her other endeavors, which is, I'm so proud of her. But it was cool. I got to give her her props for the show. She had a badge. Did you have a cell phone? I can't remember if you had a cell phone.
I didn't have a cell phone, but I had a computer.
You had a computer, but that...
But Mr. Perry, I forgot, what did Mr. Perry do when he came?
Mr. Perry moves really, really fast, y'all.
He moves super fast.
You can't really fix stuff. And he really doesn't care if it's fixed or not. He just wants to get the content out. And I respect him for it. So if y'all see the computer, if y'all watch the episodes and you see the computer and it look a little fugazi, a little off, it ain't because of me. I tried to fix it.
But Sean tried to fix it or something. And then Mr. Perry's like, that's okay. And then he was like, who is this kid? He was like, we don't like this kid. And I was like, that's my brother. But he was joking around. You know, it said a lot to see even him admire the fact that my brother was on set with me or whatever. Sean, talk a little bit, though, about, like, your day in the life. Like, I know as a music supervisor, I have certain things, like, that I have to stick to in order to make sure I do certain things for the music department. So do you get a script? Do you break it down? Like, tell us a little bit about your process.
But to go back to your question earlier that I didn't answer, you said what was the hardest part? The hardest part was just adjusting to set life. That's it. Being on set for 12 to 14 hours, that's, you know, I wasn't used to that. I used to work in retail. You work 4 or 8 hours. But just being on set and learning about all the different jobs that comes with making a TV show or a movie. But to answer your question now, my day-to-day, well, we're going to start off with prep. So prep is however many weeks or months they give you before we start to shoot, before we start shooting. We get scripts, obviously, and we have to break them down. And breaking them down consists of reading them, obviously, but, you know, picking apart a scene. Say it's a scene where Jack and Jill are texting someone in the same room during dinner. So we would have to prepare the dinner where we have somebody as a food stylist. Or we could do it ourselves. I usually, when I'm at Tyler Perry Studios or just at Tyler Perry Studios, I usually cook the food and prepare the food. But also we will provide them, you know, we have cell phones. We'll have some type of application on the phone where it looks like they're actually texting somebody, but they really aren't. That's an easy scene.
But let me ask you a question. Do you get a chance to do, like, music supervisors, we can curate something when we read a script. Do you guys get to, like, really decide what the props look like too?
So we have this thing called show and tell. We can put our creativity on it, but at the end of the day, the producers and the director has to approve it.
Right. Okay.
So even if we do something really, really creative, that may not be what the producers want or the direction of the director wants to go. So,
but how do y'all tag? How do y'all keep a catalog of, like, an actor who is a series regular and say, for instance, they're using a phone for that season? Like, do y'all have, like, what is a formula for that? Like,
it depends on who you work with, but, you know, we have character bags or character bins. Mm-hmm. So Ashley Tamar would have her own bin. You have her cell phone, her wedding ring, her necklace that she always wears. But then it gets tricky
when it comes. That's wardrobe,
though, right? That's what I'm saying. That's when props and wardrobe, like, cross over. So you don't, it's so weird because props has watches and rings, but wardrobe has necklaces and earrings. It's so weird. So, But like I said, you have a character bin. You put all that in there. If she has a journal that she always writes in, we keep that. What else would you might have? Arm sling, a gun. That's my favorite part of props, guns. Dealing with guns,
So since we're on that, before we really wrap it up, it's two questions that are really, you know, hanging in my head. We talked a lot about the situation that happened on set with Alec Baldwin and unfortunately, God rest her soul, the lady and the man, the lady who passed and then the other guy who got injured. And remember I asked you, I kept saying, Sean, who do you point the finger at when it comes to a loaded gun on set? So if you can, because you work in the trenches with these type of projects, can you please give a short, you know, like tell people what you told us?
I blame the prop master, the assistant prop master, the director, the assistant director, the actors.
That's a lot of people.
I blame everybody because we have a safety check. When I bring a gun on set, I bring it, nose down? But anyway, barrel down. I bring it barrel down. Not my hand on the handle, not on the trigger. I go to the assistant director first. I'm like, go to the AD first. And he yells out, safety check, gun check. Also an armorer too. If you have a good budget, you would have an armorer where it's like he's separate from props, but he's also kind of with props. It's
like he's a specialty unit.
He's a specialty unit, specialty for guns and bullets, especially when you go live rounds. Not real bullets, but like, yeah, quarter loads, half loads, things of that nature. But I blame all of them because everybody has to check. And even the assistant director, he shows to the director. He even makes an announcement, like, everybody, whoever wants, even PAs, you get to come see if it's safe or not. So you can feel safe on set. Even the actors, like, you even got to guide them through those situations, too. And they should check the guns as well. Everybody should check. Everybody on set should check the guns.
Wow.
Everybody.
So where are you now with, well, let's ask a fun question here. Can you name down some of the, you know, the films and TV shows you worked on? I'm so proud of my brother, you guys. I'm just
BMF, Marvel's Ironheart. It hasn't come out yet. Just for context, the girl that was in the last Wakanda Forever, Black Panther, the girl that was in college.
Oh yeah,
it's her show. Riri Williams. Shout out to her. Shout out to my. Her name is Dom. Dom, I love you, my baby. Have nots. Anything Tyler Perry from the last 5 years, honestly. What else, man? First Wives Club. The Walking Dead. I was actually, what you call it? Special effects makeup on Walking Dead. I wasn't even in props. I was special effects makeup. That was a journey, too. That was fun. Something I thought I couldn't do, but I actually did it. Man, I'm trying to think. Black Panther. I'm drawing a blank. 6888. Is that's the name of it?
Yeah.
Tyler Perry show that movie that they're filming earlier this year.
Did you do Jasmine's Blues?
Jasmine's Blues. That was a fun movie that I did. My last show that I got off of it's called Hysteria. It's going to be on NBC. It's like a, I'm not going to say it. Sorry. I almost ran my mouth a little too much, but it's called Hysteria. You can look it up and see the synopsis about it. I'm not going to tell you because I signed some papers and I'm not trying to lose no money. We already on strike. So
before you go, like, tell people, like, what does this strike mean to you from the trade industry? Sean and I were talking earlier and I was like, you know, it's amazing that everyone's focused on the actors and, you know, it is what it is. I've been acting all my life. I get it. The writers, I get it. But people, this is why Tamar Talks was created, was to shed light on the people in trade and behind the camera. And you can't do anything without them, right? So how does the strike affect you and how do you feel about it? Like
the strike, The strike affects me a great deal. I am considered below the line worker. So that's hair and makeup, wardrobe, props, art department, set decoration, PAs, the production office, grips, electric. So, you know, to be honest, we make a livable wage. Well, not necessarily the PAs, but, you know, everybody else, we make a livable wage. So, you know, we're not really, you know, complaining about that. But at the end of the day, we still need to work. Like, this industry is you don't work, you do not get paid. So us being out for, my show ended in June. So what's that? I can't even do the math right now. It's not that much.
July, 4 months. August, September, October, 4 months. Like 4 months.
So it's affecting me a great deal. Luckily, I have saved enough money to do what I needed to do, but also I got, you know, stuff to do that costs money. So,
and not call me. Right. He hasn't done that since high school. Hallelujah.
You know, haven't called my parents, but they are willing to help me out, and I appreciate my family for that. They understand the situation that I'm in, and they are here with open arms. My mom was like, "Well, you can give up your apartment." I was like, "Baby, look." I live in Atlanta. My crib is great. It is made to the T. I'm not giving this up. I can't do it. But on a serious note, I don't know. I'm for the actors and the writers, but my honest opinion is just like, man, it's, you fighting evil, man. Like, you're not fighting people who are in their right minds, honestly. Like, for them to say, you know, you'll come back begging when you're homeless. Like, that's crazy. And people are only asking for a little, like, you know, if we have inflation, like, keep up with the times. But they, you know, they want to be greedy. And I tell people all the time, it's like, man, when somebody cut your check, they can do whatever they want to do. These studio heads cut these checks. This is how you get paid. Yeah. You know, Netflix, is you working on a Netflix show? Them folks at Netflix cutting this check.
Yeah.
And, you know, really trying to tell people what to do with their money is crazy. Even though what they're doing is evil, you're still, at the end of the day, telling somebody what they should do. Like, think about it.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody was demanding you to give them something, are you going to give it to them?
Yeah, no.
You're not going to give it to them. And that's just how I see it. I mean, it's unfortunate for all of us. But, you know, I pray that we, you know, get back to what we love, get back to what we're doing.
All right, y'all. So before we go, I have some funny, quick questions to ask Sean in 30 seconds. The first one, though, to be honest, in like a 10-second answer, as a Black man, what would you encourage more Black men to cultivate, create, discover, you know, talk about, what, you know, because you're young. You're only 35, so.
Right. Something I struggle with is just, man, just be fearless, man. You know, people gonna talk about you for sure. But, you know, like I always say, I don't know, man. Honestly, just be fearless, bro. Like, be fearless.
Well, y'all heard it from my baby brother.
I really can't stress it enough. Because that's something that I've lived by for about 4 years now, just being fearless. And like, if you see it, you can get it, bro. If you can imagine it, you can get it.
And honestly, Sean's really telling the truth. Cause I mean, we have constant conversations and he's asking like, well, what do I do about this? And I remember when he first became a prop master, it's different being a prop assistant and a prop master. And something my family and I talked about after having a conversation with him was how to even govern people's personalities and their spirits and their energies and their character. And Sean has come a long way. So when he says be fearless, he's really coming from a place of saying, like, there was a moment where he would be timid and he didn't even know how to just tell, like, yo, dude, you sleeping on the job. I need you, you know what I mean? Or just looking out, you know? So I'm very proud of my brother. And I just hope this podcast encourages you guys, you know, to go out and just do these non-traditional, just go out and do it. And so, y'all give it up for my baby brother, Sean Thomas.
And one last thing. I appreciate it, but one last thing, man. When it comes to props in this industry, it is white male dominated. And I kid you not, almost every show that I've gone on, the team is white. Mm-hmm. And people always either think I'm in wardrobe or grip. by the way I dress, actually, because I'd be fresh as hell on set. I ain't gonna hold y'all. But I mean, it don't come from me. It comes from everybody else.
No, I got you.
But my point is like, we aren't represented in props. Black men or women, we aren't represented in props. And for people to ask me what department I'm in, and I say, oh, I'm in props. And like, nah, you're not in props. I'm like, what you mean I'm not in props? Like, oh, that's all white people. That's only what white people do. And it always takes me aback every single time that somebody thinks I'm in a different department. And I tell them I'm in props, and they are always surprised, like always. Almost any show outside of TPS, and even in Tyler Perry Studios, people that I've known for 2-3 years thought I was in sound. I was like, how do you think I'm in sound? I'm standing right next to you every day doing prop stuff. They just refuse to believe black people or black people are in props.
Wow. So, well, y'all, like I said, Tamar Talks is bringing y'all straight up non-traditional careers. I am so proud of my brother, not just because he is my brother, but he is the definition of doing a non-traditional career. One more thing, though. Can you give someone one characteristic that you have to have in being in props? Like, what is that one thing you would say, like, yo, if you don't have this, don't even try to get in it?
Be detailed.
Say that one more time.
Be detailed in what you do. Reading a script, even like I said earlier, setting food out on the table. Like if you got a piece of chicken on the left side of the plate, collard greens on the right side, and cornbread in the center, like you gotta have that every single time.
Wow.
Every single time, every single take.
But is that your department who photos
That's
that?
Mine.
Do you photo that food?
I set it and I photo it. So if they get to eat and how greedy these actors are. I don't want to get into that, but these actors be eating, y'all. They act like they don't get fed or treated like kings and queens on set. But, yeah, they eat, when they eat the food, like, I got to be ready. This place have to be identical. If I have a pitcher of juice, the juice has to be identical, especially if they start pouring. So, you know, it's just be detailed, man.
Wait. One more question. I lied. Who has been your favorite actor or actress to work with?
Monique.
Monique who?
Monique.
The comedian. Really?
Man, when I tell you that
lady. Oh, we tagging her on this one because people just be going in. I love me some Monique.
Man, Monique's spirit is so
really
unbelievable, y'all.
Oh, wow. Well, this episode is dedicated to Monique the comedian.
Every day she would look at me. She met me. She was like, I was like, my name is Sean. She's like, I'm Monique. I was like, she was like, it's so nice to meet you, Sean. Every day. She's like, hey, Sean. How you doing, Sean? Good to see you, Sean. Aww. Like, she makes it a point to say your name, look you in your eye, and make you feel like you are at home.
I mean, this is why Tamar Talks was created. I'm so sick of, I'll talk about it later, but that's what I did not like about a lot of my cast members. They never even introduced themselves to the people behind the scenes. And those were the people, they're the ones who matter. So special shout out to you, Monique. Like, seriously, from your bonnet talk about women in the airport looking crazy. Listen, my baby brother just said that you're the favorite and he's worked with.
Man.
So special shout out to Monique.
I didn't tell how many people I didn't work with. But, you know, 80% of these actors be assholes. So. When this
so
strike
on the next
happen,
episode, we're going to get into that.
When this strike
Sean
happen,
and I
going
to get into that the next one. We're going to get into the next one on part two with Sean Davis. No, y'all, for real, give it up for my baby brother, Sean.
I appreciate you for having me. I love you so much.
I love
I'm
you
so
too.
Proud of you. For real.
It's going to be a new day. Every morning and you're feeling empty, thinking that today is gonna be a new day. When the sun comes out, but your mind is in a battle and your faith is in a saddle, trying to get ahead and see the light that's trying to make way through the clouds. It's so hard to live a life when you've given it your all, when you're letting go the past. Optimistic, hear the call. Where's the understanding to endure? Afraid another fall. Living life ain't stressing. What you think of me? My everything, my all alone.
it's time consuming. I think it's going back and forth, much to do what you're choosing. Which way is right? So I close the door, turn off the radio, find the quiet place and shut my eyes, picture me in space where I have no doubt. Time to turn off all the noise, we'll let the outside in destroy. All I have worked hard for, reaching stars that I know will take me far. It seems so clear to me to be all that I ever thought I could, and now that you are here, make 100 racks, and that 100 racks bringing no more lack. I was chasing fame like the honey catcher, ATD trick, the vision chaser. C'est la vie shit, I'm coming after everybody, climbing the promise ladder. I'm fly and I got my girls fly too. Yup, it's like buddy passes. I wanna cry cause I'm numb inside. If you wonder why, ask what's the chatter. I've been working hella hard, things are really working out. I've been praying to the Lord, things are really working out. I've been looking to the stars, keep my head up in the clouds. Things are really working out. Things are really working out. Shit is finally working out.
Don't explain why
what is there to gain? There was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, one very day passed my way, he spoke of little things and kings in this sea. Said to me, the greatest gift you'll ever learn is just to love, love, and love in return.
To me, what's that in your hand? I said, fruit from the apple tree. Would you like to take a bite and make our way upstream? Before we left the garden, came a sight so tempting, saying, who are you and where did you come from? I want to get to know you. Have anything you wanna, have what you please. Don't say I didn't want you. A price you pay forever. Don't eat from this apple tree. Said, boom, boom, boom.
You've asked how long will the promise take? What you want, eyes haven't seen. Daydreaming, night till dawn, you may we
Wake up. You're beautiful. Loved. And blessed. I was just a piece of clay. I was formless. You gave me a new name with the breath of life. I now live abundantly. All I needed was the power of sand and the blood on Calvary. But too much power can sometimes turn to shame. Too much desire sometimes make you feel the same. But forgiveness, yes, is how you win the game. I beg the truth, now I know the truth. And that is when you came and said I was beautiful, loved and blessed. I'm better than the day before, 'cause you made me confess that I am beautiful, loved and blessed. When you're free, you're really free indeed. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
In battle to stay ahead of the game. Is anybody famous? When everybody wants fame, always trying to break you down, thinking that it'll raise them up.
I just wanna be happy. Come take this bitter cup from me.
If I were to ever write down my life story, I could truly say, with all the fame and glory, I was just a piece of clay in need of the potter's hand. 'Cause when you whispered in my ear the words I so now understand, oh,
beautiful, loved and blessed. I'm better than the day before, 'cause you made me confess that I am beautiful, loved and blessed. When you're free, you're really free indeed. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
You said, before the fall of man, you said, every time I walk in faith, you let me see another day. Before the earth was made, you said, I will lead the way and you'll go far. Knowledge and understanding, understanding is good. And when I wake up in the morning, all I hear in my hood is people saying that they're
beautiful, beautiful.
Will you rescue me from the darkness? And now I just must confess.
Beautiful, loved and blessed.
When you're free indeed, all you gotta do is just plant the seed.
Hey, 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 wake up, it's a new day. Hey, 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 wave your hands in the air and say, hey, 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 wake up, it's a new day.
You know, you've always got a friend.